Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We call upon your name. Oh, that all-powerful, all-loving, all-wonderful, the name. Oh, the name given to us. Hallelujah. And the name written on us. Hallelujah. Oh, my Savior, my Lord, my King, my soon-coming bridegroom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We rejoice. Oh, we rejoice in your presence. Oh, God, we just sing praises before you. Oh, we adore the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father, for freely giving him. Lord God, thank you for your plan. Thank you, God, for your purpose, Lord, that you purposed in us in Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, that we come here today, and God, wake us up. Lord, if we're getting even a little sleepy right now, wake us up. Lord, let us pay attention, Lord. This time is just a short time. It's a little time. It's a vapor time. Redeem the time. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, as only you can do, you quicken us in your love. You brought us here today. Thank you, God, as you said, hear him. And in Jesus' name, we say thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's begin today in Hebrews 13. And in Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. I believe that's one of the most comforting, most encouraging statements in the Word of God. He is telling you he will never leave you nor forsake you. And I love that, that the Lord will never leave you. The Lord will never leave me alone. And that's not just physically, but that means dealing with your heart. I will not stop. He tells you I'll never forsake you. I believe in some way he tells me, son, I'm going to do everything in my power not to let you waste your life. Amen. As a brother encouraged me a couple weeks back, he said, you know, I tried to hide in hell, but he was there with me. Just like David. He said, oh, if I make my bed in hell, you're there with me. Aren't you thankful that we cannot hide from God? Aren't you thankful that even those times you might have tried, and maybe you're trying right now, to lose yourself, as they say, in the shuffle of life, no matter how hard you try to hide, he'll always search you out. He's always coming. Your father, your dad, is always coming. The chastening of our hearts, brothers and sisters, the conviction of our souls, it never ends, because we are too precious to God. We are too valuable to our Father. Amen. You're too valuable to your Father. Know that. You are so beyond priceless. Praise God to him. Now, in that, he's not going to sit still with our nonsense. He's not. You can ask my sons, this dad, and I'm just a natural dad. There, if nonsense is going down, I'm going to say something. If nonsense is going on, I'm going to do whatever I can. But I'm just a natural dad. And we've got a heavenly Father. And if nonsense is going on, he's going to shut it down. And yes, he will. And I'm talking about the nonsense of living in unbelief. You know, he's not just going to pat my head and let me say, oh, that's, I feel so sorry for you and your unbelief. He's going to say, get up. Listen to my son. And start believing the word of the Lord. As he said to those disciples, oh, we're just going to build us three different altars here. We're going to build a couple to the prophets and one to the Lord. And this is going to be such a holy place. He shut that down. Because that was unbelief. They were going in feeling. They were going in their own good intentions. And God said, that's wickedness to me. You're going to magnify him. I'm going to shut down the nonsense. Brothers and sisters, that also includes lives that want to go off in deception. We can have illusions of godliness that we think we're going after. We can be complacent. God's going to shut that down. As the old saying goes, it comes home to roost. The camel in a tent is going to be dealt with God. If little foxes have spoiled the whole vine, let me tell you something. It's not over. The I Am is in love with his children. And I'll tell you what. He's not going to stop. He's going to change it up. He's going to stir up that nest. Just like that eagle, he stirs up that nest. That young is going to fly, and they're going to fly on their own. They're going to mount up on wings, and they're going to take flight. He chastens his sons. We endure hardness as good soldiers. He's not going to sit there and pacify you. He's fed us with strong meat. And to whom much is given, much is required, sons of God. Yeah. It's a serious time because of what we've been given. What we've been called to. What God envisions for his sons. And that is one thing, that you grow up into him fully. Now, oftentimes we get in such trouble. And I believe we can all testify to this. We get going down a path. And we think it's the path because we've chosen that path. We've laid those tracks because we think that's the way our life needs to go. We know that it's that way because this is the talent that I know God has graced my life with. It's where I feel strong. It's where I feel I know what I'm doing. But oftentimes, brothers and sisters, that's a path that the enemy's deception leads you right down. And you begin to see all of the good things and the profitable things of God begin to get destroyed in your life. I was speaking with a brother the other day. My heart breaks thinking about it, but it's not an uncommon story. I said, brother, you have been in absolute torment and miserable for the last 5 years of your life. Why are you still holding on and not letting go to that dysfunction? I said, I believe they call that insanity. Amen. It's the truth, is it not? But see, that's what the devil does. He'll make you insane. What he brings in is dysfunction and chaos, and we become not only accustomed to it, but without our encouraging ourselves in the Lord, we become to hold it and to want it and to think that we can't function without dysfunction. That's what the devil does. That's what God wants you to wake up, because God is not going to sit still with that nonsense. He's not going to let it go on. Like in a sinner's life, it'll just go on. That death will just go on. But you're God's children, and he's going to stop it. Now, brothers and sisters, we can have all the good intentions, like this brother had told me. But, you know, I was just trying to make more money. I was just trying to find a better job. I was trying to accommodate my house, my kids. I was trying to make a better thing. Let me tell you something. If our life is not about steps towards truth and more truth, and living by the grace of God in the testimony of a life of the principles and the order of the Word of God, if that's not my life, then the path that I'm going down is going to destroy. The last thing I want to do is to rob my life, because I know if I rob my life, I'm robbing my family's life. I'm robbing my sweet wife. I'm robbing my children. And I'd be robbing the family of God. David got to a place like that. A place that he thought that he could just go on in an illusion of ungodliness. But yet God in his faithfulness sent him Nathan the prophet. For us, it's called the Word of God. And it struck David's heart. And I believe a song came on David's heart from that day forward. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. If there be any wicked way, lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. We can become so asleep that we don't recognize the chaos. We can become so used to things that are off that we just, again, are truly dead to what's going on. God, wake us up. Brothers and sisters, there's not much time. And the Lord, as you hear the Word of God, it's truly, as we've heard so many times in this place, it's like somebody coming by your house and saying, it's on fire. It's on fire. It's on fire. Amen. Now, what does it matter or profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his own family? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his marriage or lose his children? Amen. The Word of God tells us there's pleasures of sin for a season. He's letting you know. He made you. He knows the prince and the power of this air. He knows that there is a pleasure in sin for a season. But a season is a very, very, very short time. I was thinking how much I love going into this summertime. But then I was thinking, my goodness, in a short few months, it's over. The pleasure of sin season is even shorter than that. The problem with that season is it can still kill and destroy your life. I was visiting with a brother in the basement this morning. We could not imagine the agony that would be if we missed the first trump. It's going to be an event and a time that comes upon the world that was never known by man before. An evil, a torment, a horror. And there will be God's precious people that go into that. And as brother said, they'll need to be comforted. And the word of the Lord always comforts. But see, no matter who you are as a child of God, there's going to come a day in your life that you're going to be crying out to God. That, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see your face. I want to see you. Hallelujah. But I want that to be on my heart now. As opposed to going into a time when I know that the first trump has passed. And yes, he will come again. But it'll be a time that there will be people crying out to God, "Oh Lord, come." And yes, come quickly. Now, brothers and sisters, that season of sin is a very short time. But that cost is so great that it will rob your life. The devil is such a deceiver that he can put a carrot out in front of your eyes, that if you will go after it and not turn from it, he can waste your entire life. I now know of that. I remember hearing Brother Hill testify of ones he spoke to, a man that he went to visit that had grown up in the meeting and heard Paul's gospel and was quickened in that for a time of his life, but then had gotten away and chosen a life of bigger barns and bigger barns, and a life of, again, the pleasures, the ease, the complacency. But yet at the end of his life, all he could do was weep with Brother Hill and say, "I missed it. I missed it." When will we wake up? When will we wake up that we're not from here? You would think, as the family of God, that would be a rejoicing we get up every morning as you turn on the TV and say, "Thank you, God, I'm not from here." Have you ever visited another country and beautiful things and all of that? But then maybe you got into some places that you'd never seen before and that maybe we don't have here in this country, and you say, "Wow, I'm thankful I'm not from here." I do that every day. I'm thankful I'm not from here. When will we realize that our citizenship is not here, but it's in heaven? When will we realize that our lives cannot be lived of the world? Mm-mm. You talk about the square peg in a round hole, it don't fit. It will never work. It'll never fit. I appreciated what the Lord said to Aaron in Numbers. He told Aaron, and I understand this was about the inheritance to Israel, and Aaron being the priest and of his tribe. But he said to Aaron, "Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part, I am thine inheritance." We're going to divert on to a little much the more right now. The Lord was speaking to Aaron, the priest. I believe the Lord has told us with the gospel that we've received, we rejoice in a company someday by the grace of God, that he has made us priests and kings unto God. Even in Christianity, brothers and sisters, God has not called us to the part of wood, hay, and stubble. God has not called you to the part of waving a palm throughout eternity. He's my inheritance. We've been on a wonderful, not a theme, but a truth. What's mine is yours. What's mine is ours. He's my inheritance. So in that, I see, brothers and sisters, I might try to take an easy road. That's not going to sit. It's not going to happen. God's not going to let us be complacent. God's not going to let us be slothful. He's going to be after us. You think of why, especially in this place, we have great trial. We have incredible testings. We have challenges in our family. We have challenges in our personal lives. You would think that because I'm hearing Paul's gospel for decades, that somehow I would just be a perfect man. That I wouldn't even have a temptation. That I would walk through life just like Jesus himself. And it doesn't even affect me. And yet, here I am. And brother, I still got the same temptations. And here I am. But you know what I'm learning? God's not going to take them temptations away. And instead of me pleading with him, which there was times in my life I pleaded with him. Oh Lord, take this temptation away. I'm beginning to learn, Lord, increase your strength in me. I'm learning to say, oh Lord, let this ear hear the word of the Lord. Make these arms like steel bands. Teach these hands to war. Lord, don't allow that to reign upon my life. Oh, I know that giant's there. But I'm strengthened to fight. And I'm learning that there's a pleasure to him in that fight. I'm understanding that, yes, he transforms this life. Because you know what? I know I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I tried to. Don't work. I tried to, and even the world would throw me out. You know what I'm saying? You're not one of us. Get out of here. Huh? Just like them kings trying to take old Sarah. She's brought a plague in here. She must belong to him. She must have a husband. You're not going to live what you think suits you. Households, men and women, think they're going to live this way or that. God's not going to let that last. God's people, and I truly speak to young people and to old people, but God's people, you think you're going to keep company with them that have no thought of God? That ain't going to last. It didn't work for Jonah. It didn't work for Samson. It didn't work for Lot. And it's not going to work for you. Brothers and sisters, the trying of our faith is more precious than gold tried in the fire. And you're wondering why sometimes your flesh, you just ache and groan. Because there's temptations that hit this flesh. But the Lord loves that fight. You can thank him in that. Because you need to call out on the name of the Lord. He told you that if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. There's a pattern throughout the word of God, brothers and sisters. He chastens his sons, but know this. He has not given you something in your life that's too big for you to overcome. There's nothing in your life that's too big for you to overcome. And here's why. The word of the Lord has told you and assured you why. Because you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you. That's truth. That's the word of the Lord. Listen to this today, because you're going to be fought if the Lord tarry right as you start leaving these doors. Praise God. Thank Him for that fight. Thank Him for that infirmity. As Paul said and rejoiced, I get it, Lord. If that was removed from my life, I would be magnified. I would be puffed up. Now, it doesn't mean that I just go with some sin to reign upon my life. But brothers and sisters, let the Lord turn it around. Start seeing your life seated in the heavens in Christ and quit seeing it down in this defeated world. And that's what religious man wants to get you to see it from. See it from your failure. To see it in somehow your works and your strength is going to get out of it. Well, let me tell you something. It will never happen until you lay it on the altar, and you lay it on the altar in the blood of the Lamb. You lay it on the altar in the word of grace. And that, praise God, is when I'm seated in the heavens. And I thank the Lord. I do know that I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. And I do know that He's got one thing for me. And that's complete victory. Complete victory. Is not it finished? It's finished, is it not? Didn't the Lord say, I have finished it? Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what. I believe that we have to absolutely reject it because the power is so great. The power of the resurrection has been given for us to have it. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, cause me to run. Because I'll tell you what, He's got relentless passion for us, brothers and sisters. Relentless. We have a Father that desires one thing for us, and that's to grow up into His Son fully. And the beautiful thing is He's faithful to perform it. He's faithful to perform it. And that is why, praise be to God, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Are you listening? I'll never leave you and I'll never leave you alone. And I'll never forsake you. I'm going to do everything not to let you waste your life. Make those decisions today by the grace of God. Say, Lord, I will go. Brothers and sisters, too many households. Too many households right now. The enemy's running in there. And we're choosing to be deceived. You're children of the light. We're not of darkness. We're not of them that would be sleeping. We need to be awake and alive. Abundantly alive. Amen? Oh, I love it. I love a good fight. I think it's great. I was thanking God this weekend. Oh, temptations were rolling. Just like every weekend. Even during weekdays. But see, God is encouraging my life. Instead of sitting down in the corners, oh, Lord. I'm getting encouraged in the Word of God. It's fight time. It's fight time. I'm feeling like this. Oh, praise God. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh, this is coming on me. Oh, no, I don't do that. It's fight time. It's time to wake up in our homes. It really is. It's exciting. See it in the word of the Lord. See it in that truth. See that. It's a good fight of faith. That devil has no strongholds in your home. Oh, my goodness. The Lord's the one that, He's the Lion of Judah, is He not? He said, I broke every chain. Whom He has made free is free indeed. I thank God I'm not bound by nothing. I'm running and I'm running well. He told me, get up, son, and run. Run in the gospel. Run in it is written.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Yes.
So, here, let the Spirit lead you. Know this. Count it. And yield to the words of the Scriptures.
Praise God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we're so grateful again. Lord, truly, it is holy ground. I thank you, God, that again you're leading and your encouragement to us is always in love. Lord, I thank you, God, that it's just again for the benefit, Lord, of what we would have with you forever. Lord, thank you again for the abundance of the blessing that you bestow upon us. Lord, your power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We come in these doors week after week. We thank you, God, that you provided this. But Lord, let us truly be that people that we would just be a fountain of thanksgiving. A river, Lord God, of gratitude. That all you would want from us is this praise, Lord. The praise to the glory of your grace. That we would truly just surrender our lives to you. That, Lord, you are the one that changes us. We do not make any changes. But, Lord, that we would be willing vessels, Lord, to allow, as the Spirit said, that the word of the Lord, God, would come in and make manifest in our hearts. And the word of the Lord would make manifest in our homes. That, Lord, we would stand upon the promises of God. And that we would stand as those good soldiers, Lord, upon the word of your grace. Oh, as Brother Paul said, preach no other gospel. Oh, this is our inheritance, Lord. Thank you, God, that it's you and you alone. Thank you, Jesus, that you visit us like this. Thank you, God, for this anointing today. Thank you, God, for the intimate time that you had with every and each one of our hearts this morning to hear the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.